WHTC At Home Show, presented by Zeeland Lumber and Supply, with your host, Mark VandenBosch. Mark presents the latest in building, remodeling, everything for your home. You are at home on 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Tony Hoover, once again filling in for Mr. Mark VandenBosch. Mark got pulled away on a little bit of business, so he asked if I would come in and just fill his seat for the afternoon. And so excited to be here. We have a great show lined up. I'm super excited for this one. A little bit of housekeeping to get started. If you want to get a hold of us during the show, you have some questions about home improvement and what we're talking about today, give us a buzz. 616-395-1450. Again, that's 395-1450. And you're listening on WHTC 1450 AM. And if you want to shoot an email, go ahead and drop us a line. TonyH@ZeelandLumber.com. Now, today I am joined by the one and only John Colley. How's it going, John?
It's going good. How you doing, Tony?
Good. And we're talking about, we're finishing out a series on innovation that Mark started. And we've had a lot of different folks from a lot of different industries and segments of construction come on and talk about what's new and exciting for them. We had Trex come on, talk about composite decking. Last week we had Barbara Thompson from EPS, and she talked about home security. And today we're kind of moving outside of the home, and we're talking about pole barns. So, you know, for most of us, when we're driving down the road, we just see these steel-looking structures, and, you know, they're pretty popular for agriculture, and a few homes have them. I mean, you know, John, what exactly is a pole barn, and what's the difference between really a pole barn and what I've been hearing in the marketplace has been post-frame? I guess, I don't know, is there a difference? What is the difference? Can you kind of give us an overview?
Well, when this type of construction originated, it was really considered pole barns is what they considered it. And it was basically a type of construction that used a post instead of conventional studs to build a wall.
Okay.
And now as the use types of the buildings have changed from not just being agriculture buildings, but also garages to churches to schools and other different, you know, use types, the industry has kind of adopted post frame.
Right on.
Is the terminology.
Fantastic. So when I was a kid growing up in Ionia, Michigan, on a dairy farm, it was a pole barn.
It was a pole barn.
But still, it is kind of a post-frame building.
Yeah, that's correct.
Fantastic. So what, you know, if we go back 15, 20 years when we were 10 years old.
Mm-hmm. Better go back a little farther, Tony.
I love it. What was a pole barn really made out of when, you know, they started becoming popular? Was it wood? Was it steel? What was it made out of?
The pole barn itself, it was a 4x6 or a 6x6 treated pole, 8 foot on center, a wood truss that spanned the two rows of poles, and then the outside cladding was covered with steel.
Okay. And was the roof? It was just a whole steel building. Was the roof shingled or what was it?
They could do shingle roofs back then, but you know this was a type of construction that was really, you know, originated in the agriculture market where they could put up a large building really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And what seemed to work out best in, you know, in the days was wood frame, and then it was steel clad, so steel roof, steel sides. But you could still do a shingle roof if you desired that. Or in later, you know, it kind of adapted where you could put OSB on the outside and vinyl siding. Mm-hmm. You know, you could really adapt it to anything you wanted.
Really? Now, at that point, when pole barns, post frames, whatever you want to call it, got started, you know, what was the purpose that it served at that time?
A large building, fast construction. They were used a lot in, you know, hay storage, agriculture buildings where there was animal confinement. You know, it started to actually get adapted a little bit into even the commercial segments where they're using, they'd have an office in the front and a big shop in the back where needed room for machinery. You know, all those different types of uses they were used quite a bit for.
For sure. So it was really kind of almost like one of the first multi-purpose buildings.
Yeah.
Because the main purpose was kind of storage, whether it was for livestock or farm equipment. But you could also do a little bit of working space in the front for office space, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. If you have any questions for John, we're talking about post frames, give us a call, 395-1450. You can listen online, WHGC1450.com. Now, John, when I was a younger man, I remember pole barns, post frames. They weren't that big, and now I see these really large structures going up, and I assume it's the same basic thing. But I mean, what's going on?
Well, you know, in the industry, a lot of things are changing. You know, ethics come into play with animal confinement. Birds in cages and cage sizes have increased. There's machinery that operates, you know, the fields, which has, you know, got bigger over time. A lot of the smaller farms, you know, they're still there, but they're, you know, they did shrink down, and you know, a lot of them aren't there still.
Right.
But and it seems like there's a lot of big farms that have kind of, you know, been the you know, the I guess the
new normal.
Yeah, the new
ways.
Norm for the industry. So with the bigger farms, you know, comes more animals, comes
sure.
more equipment, comes, you know, bigger tractors, comes, you know,
right.
all the things that go along with it. So really, you know, the sizes has had to change.
Right. So, I mean, realistically, we're kind of in a place where there are just a few more commercial farms, you
mm-hmm.
know, as opposed to like the mom and pop operations. And because of that, it's kind of, there's been a need in the industry, specifically post-frame, to expand to meet those needs.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, and what are the challenges? You know, because if you go from, you know, what was an average size 20 years ago?
Well, you know, in the residential setting, you know, a 30 by 40 pole barn, when I started selling them at Zeal and Lumber, was, you know, we'd sell 300-400 of them a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when the recession kind of came around, a lot of that business went away. But we were still seeing buildings. They were just a lot bigger. Instead of somebody putting a 30 by 40 in their backyard, we had people putting, you know,
right
80
on.
By 100s.
Fantastic.
Know, so.
Cool. Well, hey, John, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what goes into those big, big pole barns.
Okay.
You're listening to the At Home
Decks and Fencing, as well as cabinets, countertop, and interior trim and doors. Call 616-772-2119. They're online at zealandlumber.com and also on Facebook.
Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com. Lots of sunshine this afternoon. Could see a high of about 45. Clouds moving in later, though, and we'll do have a chance of showers through the overnight. And if it gets cold enough, could see some snow mixed in. The expected low is 31. Saturday, partly sunny and a high near 35. But later in the day, we could see a wintry mix. Right now in Zeeland, it's 37. It's 38 in Holland. Holland's hometown forecast is available anytime at WHTC.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the At Home Show. This is Tony Hoover sitting in for Mark Vandenbosch, who was called away on a little bit of business. And I have to say, after listening to that weather report, John, I feel like we're never going to see spring.
I don't think so either.
Oh, my goodness. It just never ends, does it?
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. So, John, we've been talking about pole barns, better known now mm-hmm. in the industry as post-frame buildings. And where we left last time, we were talking about the differences in sizes. So when, you know, a post-frame building, better known as a pole barn to some of us, it used to be relatively small. And now, because of constraints by the market, they're just getting a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, machinery's increasing in size. People just need more capacity. Now, the overall topic last month has been innovation. So what innovations have taken place to allow for these post-frame buildings to go from relatively small to now these monster structures?
Mm-hmm. Probably the things that are really the core components of the post-frame building is the poles themselves, it's the trusses, and it's the material that it's clad with. And each one has its own developments that have allowed it to adapt to the bigger buildings. The poles have moved from not being necessarily a solid sawn piece of lumber, but they've moved to being multiple plies of smaller dimensional number. At first nailed together, then nailed and glued, and now, you know, some manufacturers are making it fully glued.
Right.
And that's actually a type that we carry. But
mm-hmm.
but this allows them to make these columns up to even 40 foot tall, you know, or
really?
Longer. So it's allowed those sidewall heights to get that much higher.
To get taller and taller.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get a hold of John, if you have a question about your post-frame project, give us a call on the station. It's 395-1450. Now, John, when you said it was, you know, glued together, mm-hmm. like, what does that mean? So you just have multiple pieces of wood that are brought together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a common size like is a 6x6 replacement is three plies of 2x6. And the nice thing about it when they are glued together this way is they have better control of the material that goes into the product. They can use a better grade of material to start with, like, you know, such as the supplier we use starts with an MSR 1650 top,
okay,
which is has less knots. It's a rated as a stronger, you know, mm-hmm. stronger piece of material than a standard 2x6 number 2.
Gotcha.
So they can control the material that goes into it. And actually, the gluing process, it's evolved a little bit over the years as well, where now a lot of the glues, you know, they have to put it in a press and they'd have to sandwich that material and hold it there mm-hmm. until it cured. Well, now with radio frequency glues, they're allowed to put them together, hold it together for, you know, just a short period of time and then release it to increase their efficiencies with it.
That's fantastic. And at the end of the day, realistically, what they're doing is just making a stronger building component, correct?
That's correct.
Fantastic. Now, you talked about the structure, mm-hmm. you know, at least getting, you know, the bones in place. Mm-hmm. What other things have happened in the last 15 to 20 years?
Well, you know, trusses have gotten bigger, too. You know, the fastener side of that, the truss connector side of it is really what kind of rules that. But mm-hmm. that's allowed you know, buildings to get made, you know, even wider than they've ever been. You know, 80, I think we were kind of limited to what you can get down the road and the height of the truss itself. But,
right.
you know, you can build them in multiple pieces. You can do some other things like that that allow the buildings to get bigger.
Now, do you think, you know, realistically in the next 10 to 15 years, is there a limit on how big one of these buildings can get?
It depends on what it's rated for. If it's agricultural, you know, there's really no permits that are involved with it necessarily,
okay.
and so it's a little less stringent than a commercial type structure. But you know, when it's a commercial building, there's certainly, you know, codes and design levels that have to get enforced that they really, you know, they're pretty stringent on.
Right, and in the agricultural side, it's not that there isn't any, you know, mm-hmm. Rules and regulations. They just aren't as many if it was a commercial building.
Once you get into really, really big buildings, you know, there's a whole lot of other things that have to come into consideration, such as fire suppression and, mm-hmm. you know, avenues of escape and, you know, that type of a thing.
Right on. Now, so we've covered the trusses, we've covered the structure. So is there any difference in, like, what's cladding the building, what's on the outside, or is it still steel?
You know, there's still a lot of steel that's used, but the steel industry has really changed, too, because it's you know, steel, it's cold black steel, and then it's coated with a galvanized or a protective coating to keep it from rusting, and then it's painted. And, you know, not only has the thickness of the steel is you know, the tensile strength and thickness has been, you know, improved, so they know what works good and what doesn't work good. The coatings have changed somewhat between galvanized and a new process called Galvalum. And then also the paint systems have really got a lot better than they've been.
Okay.
They're better than they've ever been. They have anti-fade.
Really?
Yeah. Pigments and stuff that work out that allow it to hold its color better, not get dull. They've got reflectivity built into the paint systems where it allows more heat to dissipate outward instead of back into the building.
Wow.
There's just quite a bit of a change in that. But anyway, the other part was the whole industry changed a little bit as well, is the length of the panels. Instead of it, you know, in the old days, you could just buy 16-footers and that's what you got. Now they run this stuff right to order to the inch. If you want a 48-foot piece of steel, we can order a 48-foot piece of steel.
So, I mean, realistically, it's whatever you want or need it to be,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
Fantastic. If you have any questions for John, again, please give us a call. We're at 395-1450. Said a word I'm not familiar with, galvaluminum. Did I say that right?
Yep.
So what is that? I've never heard of that before.
It's an alternate process to galvanization. It's zinc, and it's instead of the zinc sprayed onto the panel, it's put into a bath that coats all four sides of it with a silicone zinc and another chemical, just an alternate process.
And it's meant to just impede rust?
Yes. Yep, just like galvanization.
Fantastic. So that old B93 song is no longer good, where it says tin roof rusted? No, just me? Okay. You know, what else is happening? I mean, you know, can you put a window in something like this? Is it a similar process? Or realistically, what else is changing?
You know, they're constantly developing things. You know, cement bases to the bottom of the poles, the windows. You know, a lot of times you use the same one that you use in a residential application. But you know, and we did talk about steel quite a bit. But you can still do vinyl siding. You can still do brick. You can still do James Hardie. You can still do LP. You can do all the products that we sell. But In those cases, you'd probably want more of a residential type window in it as well.
Right.
But you can set it up any way you want.
Oh my gosh, it just sounds like it's changing so quickly. And you know, for the residential folks out there, you know, how does that relate? Because I mean, we're talking about really big monster structures. But is there something I can do in my own home in my backyard?
Oh, yeah. If you had a detached garage and you wanted it to look exactly like your house, you can do that.
And just easily, you bring the plans down to you and we can make that happen?
Yeah. Yeah, we got a team on hand that can take care of any of those needs.
Fantastic. We're going to take our last break of the day. We're talking to John Colley, and you're listening to the At Home Show.
Bunch of kittens.
The victim left the scene unharmed.
Boy, you never see that happen.
That's because it doesn't. If you see abuse or neglect, learn what you can do from American Humane at BeHumane.org.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the At Home Show on WHGC 1450 AM. And I am Tony Hoover, sitting in for Mark Van den Bosch today. And I'm joined by John Colley. And, John, we've had a great show. I really enjoy this. I've learned a lot about post-frame construction, what used to be known as pole barns to many of us. So we've really spent a whole lot of time on the agricultural side, you know, farm equipment, livestock, and stuff like that. Are there any other uses for post-frame construction other than just agricultural?
Well, you know, it's used quite often in residential buildings, as we talked about. You can design them to match your house, and you know, and actually a lot of subdivisions require an outbuilding to match the home.
Okay, yeah.
But so that's one use. There's a lot of commercial uses. They use them as, you know, manufacturing warehouses and offices in the front. A lot of charter schools are actually built post-frame construction.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a local business, Taylor Building Systems, has built charter schools all across the, you know, this whole Midwest here with that type of construction. And also churches as well. You know, a lot of churches are, it kind of works out really well because it's tall walls with high, you know, big tall cathedrals and whatnot that is, you know, it kind of plays in well to that type of construction as well.
Now, when you do a residential or a commercial building like that, I mean, there are some key differences. And when I think of post-frame, I think of cement floors and no insulation. I mean, can you add, probably a silly question, but can you insulate something like that? Does it look different? Does it feel different? Do you know, I guess the question is, do you know when you walk into a post-frame building anymore?
No,
if it is?
You a lot of time you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know at all. But it doesn't have to have a cement floor. You can, you know, I've been in buildings where they put floor joists and then, you know, build the walls and then put floor joists in afterwards and cheat it. And so there's a crawl space underneath
it. Okay, yeah.
That's worked out well. You know, they can put 2x4, 2x4s on the inside of the wall, same as the outside, and then clad the inside of the building with any type of cladding that they really want to. And they can insulate that cavity as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's different insulation methods. And, you know, one is just the fiberglass bad insulation. But, you know, I think spray foam really seals up all those cracks really well. And gives you a real nice R value. But, you know, when you think about it, most of the time it's at least a 5.5-inch wall cavity, so R19 minimum. You know, and then you can blow as much insulation in a ceiling as you really want.
Fantastic. Now, you've been in and around post-frame construction for a little bit of time now.
Just a little.
Just a little. So, like, can you share with us some interesting stories of, like, maybe times when you weren't expecting a end-use building to be post-frame? Like, what's a really interesting project you've worked on?
Well, you know, it's... Everyone's different. You know, we've done I guess something that was used for something different than we had a guy that we were estimating a bunch of buildings out because he had an indoor fish farm that he was going to raise tilapia inside the building.
What?
Yeah, it was a tilapia building, and that it was basically a fish farm inside the building. I thought that was kind of a neat one.
What were there any special considerations when you were putting a fish farm?
Well, a lot of moisture.
Yeah.
And then there's some things to help actually aid condensation. It used to be you'd have a steel roof, and if you go through a change in humidity, you'd get condensation, and it'd drip on you. There's a felt backer on the bottom of steel now that allows that to gives it just enough of a thermal break so it doesn't condensate.
So it doesn't drip on, it doesn't rain indoors, is what you're saying.
That's right.
Fantastic. Now, what else? Like, so if I have an idea for even like a smaller post frame,
mm-hmm.
Can I come in and talk to you about that? And like, what do I need to bring in to show John Colley what I'm thinking of and what I want?
Just a sketch. We've got, I don't do so much of the sales side of it as I used to do, but we've got a whole team in place. Rolando's at the desk. He can help take information. Really, it's kind of length, width, height. How big of a door do you want? Where do you want the windows and doors? What do you want for the roof? What do you want for the sidewalls? All that information together. And they can put it together any way you want it.
And if I was starting my journey and I wanted to add extra storage behind my home, where can I go look to find extra information?
You can go online, our website, www.zeelandlumber.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that has, I think, some ideas as far as some of the, new building products and that on hand, and also it has our team members on hand.
Sure.
And another good resource is the National Frame Builders Association.
Okay.
It's a nonprofit group that's made up of most of the larger post frame contractors across the country.
Mm-hmm.
The Michigan Frame Builders Association is a smaller group that's just located in Michigan that I do some work with over the years, and then general building products.
Just start looking around.
Mm-hmm.
John, it's been a whole lot of fun today. I appreciate you taking the time out and joining us. Is there any other closing words that you can share with us as far as just general like post-frame construction, things that you've seen in the last, since you've been out of high school 10 years now?
No, I think if anything is if you dream it, then they can pretty much build it.
Fantastic. John, thanks again for joining us. Truly appreciate it. You can listen to the At Home Show every Friday at 12:30. This is Tony Hoover sitting for normally Mark Van Den Bosch.